Calling all who cannot wait any longer for joy, for hope, and some good news, even a little. The time has come, the waiting is over. Here in this time, we have an old story to tell, one that has been shared over and over and over for thousands of years, but still somehow it remains unheard. Still radical and risky, breaking through into these days of darkness and cold, division and fear, interrupting the perpetual stories of violence and loss and the feelings of powerlessness into the errands and errors of our everyday. Christmas arrives, not only to comfort, but also to awaken, to reassure, and also to stir up as a new life, a life of peace and justice and courageous love struggles to be born, wondering if we will yet be the ones to make room in our lives and in our world for the refugee, the poor, the plain and messy sweetness of a newborn baby, if we will take that journey to Bethlehem, if we will be changed by the presence of a love that meets us where we are, in the fields where we lay, and calls us forth to a new journey, a braver and bolder life, believing that it is not too late for strong and gentle people to win, for compassion and truth to have the final say, for the bright light of hope to shine through even on the darkest night. Come, let us celebrate the good news of Christmas, and let us worship together. Good evening.
Good evening.
I am Gretchen Haley. I'm one of the ministers that serves this congregation, and I want to welcome you all to the Foothills Unitarian Church and our Christmas Eve service. Whoever you are, whomever you love, whatever you believe, we welcome you with a great gladness. Whether you are here from down the street or across the country, whether you're here every Sunday or once or twice a year, or here for the very first time, we are so glad to have you with us tonight. For any local visitors among us, we'd love to connect with you outside of the holiday season. And so if you'll complete one of our little connections cards that's around on the seats and drop that in the offertory basket, we'll reach out and be in touch. Now, let us behold this story. Let us hear even beyond the words into those deeper human truths of love brought down to earth, born again and again among us and through us. Let us rise in body or in spirit, and let us sing with joy. Please be seated. I have for you this story attributed to the gospel writer Luke, chapter 2. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth to Galilee, in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, to the town of David, because he belonged to that house in the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Be not afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone back to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning all that had been told to them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds had said to them. But Mary treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart.
Thank you.
It starts with being counted. Whether or not they wanted to make the journey, it didn't matter. They had to go. In those final weeks of pregnancy, when the discomfort was everywhere and the eager anticipation bursting in every breath, right then these two young Jewish parents-to-be had to make that long and difficult journey. The Roman emperor required it. He'd declared there was to be a registry, so they had to register. Now, Joseph and Mary, they were natives to this land. It was the land of their birth, their families, but that wasn't the point. As Jews under Roman rule, they were counted not because they were valued, at least not as people, but because they were sources of income. The registry was a way to make sure that they were properly taxed. Their lives, their child's life, ironically, didn't count for all that much. This is where the story of Christmas begins. In our time today, in our world today, hardly anyone, let's be honest, knows the Bible all too well. But that passage from Luke that I read is actually something that most people have heard and recognize. It's a story that is everywhere, or at least a version of it is everywhere. That old standards Christmas pageant story that could be told without risk or scandal, this is a story that we know well. But the fuller story, the story that starts with this couple that came to be counted, but whose lives didn't really count, this story still hasn't really been heard. And it is this story that is worthy of our announcing joy to the world, glory to this universe, and go tell it on the mountain. This story of Christmas is risky. The kind of risk that would put an image of Mary as a warrior trampling death in the image of a serpent with the words, "Cast down the mighty and send the rich away," in your Christmas program. Now, I made sure that we printed, it's in small print, but it is there, the scriptural reference below the artwork, as I was worried you might not realize that these radical sounding words can be found in the chapter right before the part of Luke that we more often read every year. They are a part of a song that Mary belts out. And it really does say she belts it out. It says she magnifies it, which the word means the same thing as, like, as if she took a megaphone. She belts out when she meets her sister Elizabeth and they celebrate their pregnancies. And Mary is thinking about the new life that she's going to give birth to, and she belts out this song about how God will bring down the powerful and lift up the lowly, care for the hungry, and send the rich away. See, Mary was herself one of the lowly, the hungry, and the powerless. Yet through her, love would be born anew. Through her, all people would be brought into a transforming, relentless power of love. And as Universalists, we do mean to say all when we talk about the power of this love, as we affirm that there is nothing anyone could do that would alienate them from the presence and pull of a healing and transforming love. So through this young woman who was required to be counted, but whose life didn't really count, the whole world would change. Now all of this has to be in our minds when we hear this story of these young unmarried parents-to-be and this story of their child's birth. So that, for example, at the end of the scripture that I read, when it says, "Mary treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart," you might, when you hear that, get the sense of sort of a sweet kind of contemplation, like the way that mothers are often pondering their children and how lovely they are and how many people adore them. But when you put this line in the context with the preceding fierce proclamation where she belts out, "From this day all generations will call me blessed, for God has cast down the mighty from their thrones." Suddenly you hear that this pondering things in her heart was not such a quaint, saccharine sort of way, but a powerful, prophetic imagination, a contemplation as she and we begin to realize just how much the world is about to be turned upside down by the birth of this child. It is ironic that so many of us believe that we know this story. I mean, that its telling has become kind of boring, even. Because it is a story that's supposed to turn our world upside down, shock us with a total reversal, offering a vision of a world that is perpetually and powerfully subversive. The lowly become the powerful, the outcast becomes the king, and the social rejects, which is what shepherds were at the time, the bottom of the social ladder. They were considered liars and thieves. These are the type of people chosen to first receive this good news by way of God's messengers singing in the sky, meeting them right where they were, inviting them to become themselves messengers, hope bringers, bearers of a great joy. Later, we are told that all of these lowly outcasts drew the attention of the truly wise and wealthy by way of the Magi, who willingly traveled far just to kneel at the feet of a family that, according to the world's powers, didn't count at all. Cast down the mighty. Lift the lowly. Turn everything upside down. So it is this combination of encountering the most familiar story of Christmas and the most surprising and subversive story to turn the world upside down that had me thinking about jazz when we were planning the Christmas Eve service this year. Because jazz, these guys will correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it has the same components as every regular other kind of traditional music, but it takes that traditional standard and has the potential to go in a whole different direction, depending on the musicians, the ways they come together, their openness to respond to the moment, their willingness to be vulnerable, to make mistakes, to be present for one another, and the creative forces that are moving through and among them. Like the Christmas story, jazz repeats itself, and yet each time it does so with a revision, retelling through a rewrite. It is an expression of both memory and hope, tradition and transformation. Since its inception and throughout history, jazz has been a site for subversive collaboration, bringing together white and black musicians and listeners in a way that upended long-standing traditions of racial segregation in music. And along the way, created music that had never yet been imagined or heard, something profoundly unexpected and even upside down. Now, I've heard about Christmas Eve jazz services for a while, but in asking around, I struggled to find a Unitarian Universalist example. I mean, we tend to do the traditional, reflective, contemplative, less so the improvisational and energetic. But this year I kept thinking how relevant the surprising upside down parts of this story is for our world today. In this time when the extremely wealthy have a seemingly unstoppable grip on power and influence, when violence grows and division reigns, when yet again we are talking about who counts, and who matters? Where we turn away from the immigrant and the refugee, the young and the vulnerable seeking shelter, turn away from our neighbors, our family, ourselves. Maybe in other years, we might not realize just what good news this story is. And so it could remain for us safe, traditional, distant, or theoretical. But this year, this story and all of its powerful, unexpected, risky reversal, it is a story of good news for us. This year, we need that story where something new is happening among us. Even in those most invisible and unglamorous parts of our lives, those parts that society might reject, those places where we feel most outcast, that even here a new and transforming love could be struggling to be born. And we could be the ones who could prepare it room. Our lives, like the rooms of Bethlehem, are often overly full, we know, filled up with cynicism or debt, busyness or bitterness, all sorts of things that only we individually know about, all those things that keeps our hearts closed off and that get in the way of the love that could heal us, connect us, upend and transform us, and make whole the whole world round. This year, we need to make the room. Prepare the space, because we need this Christmas story in all of its radical vision. We need to clear the way in our lives and in our hearts for a love this powerful, this transformational. To release ourselves, finally, from those things that would keep us busy, yet unsatisfied. Getting by, but still longing for more. Isolated, out in the fields, believing all hope is lost. Christmas asks us to be this brave, that we might hear the call breaking through the cold, dark night, whispering, "Be not afraid." That we might respond to the call of love, arriving in all those places that the world says doesn't count, in the face and lives of the most vulnerable, in the places of our lives that we believe are unseen and unheard, in those people who have been cast out. There, the Holy calls us to risk making the way, to risk stepping out into the night, to gather with others, imagining a whole new world, to say it is possible, to proclaim the good news of its birth. There is so much in the world and in life today that would have us despair, feeling powerlessness. But this 2,000-year-old familiar story still comes and challenges us to be radically surprised, to imagine an entirely different world, to see in the darkest, coldest night a bright, bold light still arriving, to play not the standard melody, but to risk a new note and a syncopated rhythm, a brave new story. Possible when people leave their familiar fields and set out on behalf of strangers and outcasts and on behalf of a love big enough to save the whole world. This is the promise of Christmas, worthy of being shouted from the mountaintop. Don't give up. Love is just getting started. Let us prepare it room, joining our voices in a great and glorious Alleluia. Amen. And blessed be.
You know, this song's best sung standing. Let's go tell it. Here we go. One, two.
Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Go
Let me hear ya.
Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ.
Let's do one more. Go tell it.
Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is
Lord. Will you join me now in a spirit of prayer or meditation? Spirit of life and love, we arrive to this moment as fellow travelers in this one life, filled with stories of joy and sorrow, struggle and beauty, all of us seeking shelter and a place where we can belong. Help us on this night and in our lives to make that space in our hearts, to prepare the way for new life and new meaning, to keep revealing itself to us. For new connections to be made in the midst of loss, for a new joy to grow in the midst of pain. Help us to stay present in our helplessness, to keep paying attention even when the world feels broken. Grant us wisdom and courage that we might be bearers of a new light, resilient and resolved to keep alive the story of hope, even in the days where all seems lost. Let us remember always this story of the Prince of Peace. On this night, may our faith be strengthened that we might live as if this light that is ours will be enough, as if we are brave enough, generous enough, with enough time and energy and hope, as if we all might be saviors of the world, together and at once, as if love will have the final word. And by living as if all of this were true, on this night and throughout all our days, may we be the ones who make it so. Amen, and blessed be.
Before we go too much further, I wanted to recognize these fantastic musicians up here, Mr. Corey Peterson, Adam Herreau, and Curtis Mays.
In this story of Christmas, we are not just the innkeepers trying to make space, or even the shepherds watching the sheep. We are also always that young couple making a journey into the unknown, trying to find that place where we can really belong, and hoping someone will see us and welcome us in from the cold, that a community of friends and strangers could gather around us and walk with us in our lives, reminding us that love could still be born again into this difficult but still beautiful world. This vision of our shared journey is the reason that our collection we take up on Christmas Eve is always a collection that supports this walk together, as everything we share and give tonight will benefit the minister's discretionary fund for our congregation. We use this fund to help people in our community with rent, with medical bills, with groceries, with fuel, with car repairs, all of these things of the everyday. And these gifts can make all the difference for someone being able to continue on with their life with a certain degree of security and health, or falling into a cycle of homelessness or hunger. Last Christmas Eve, I'm so happy to say that the generosity of this offering ensured that all year long we were able to support our community continuing on that life journey, affirming our common path and mutual inherent worth. So this Christmas, let us be once again the community that circles around one another in support and in celebration, that each life is worthy of love, equally worthy of belonging, and to come in from the cold. We invite you to give generously by a check or cash, or you can text. The number's on the back of your program, but I'll say it for you. It's 970-800-2458. It's right there at the center of your back of your program. You can text to that number, and when you text your amount plus the letters REV, Rev, like Minister's Discretionary Fund. Get it? So just as an example, you would be like 50 Rev. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm being a little too limiting for you. Let me say, you could say 100 REV, and it even would take it if you put all that together and you put 1500 REV. It would accept all of that. For all of your generous offerings, we are very grateful, and for all of our shared blessings, we give thanks. We will now receive your offering.
Thank you.
As we near the end of the service, we take a few moments for gratefulness. In our world today, we so often think about all we don't have and how we aren't enough. A practice of gratefulness invites us instead to remain aware of all the many gifts we do have, to be filled up with gratitude. And so on this night of abundant joy and love, I invite us to feel that sense of overwhelming presence of gratitude. Let it fill us up. Breathe into it. All those surprising gifts of life, the gifts we've shared tonight, for the chance to be together and to circle around one another, and the blessings of our community. For all of this, we feel grateful. For the risky and radical story of Christmas still waking us up today, we feel grateful. For all the joy of the night, we feel grateful. And for that light that still shines in the darkness, and for the chance to add to that light with the light of our own lives, we feel grateful. And so I invite us to now light our candles that you may have near you. I'll start us off. We're just going to pass it all around. And as we are so moved, we can rise in body or in spirit, and we will sing together as the light goes around.
Silence now, holy night, all is calm.
We need the radical and risky story of Christmas today more than ever. So let us be the ones that make it room invited in, and let ourselves and our whole world be changed by its courageous and transforming light. Our worship time has ended. May our service begin. Merry Christmas. Go in peace and in love. Amen.